Não.
Say hi to Chief. Say hi, Chief.
Hey, Michael buddy, Holman. How are you?
Michael's old.
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Chief.
You're getting a boy.
Like Mikey a lot.
Getting to be a big boy. My gosh.
Say, I'm doing really good. I'm gonna have twin sisters.
Twin sisters. Whoa, competition in that house. Okay. I got to turn around and do something here. Let me see if I can change my video picture.
What's happening? You see the chief? That's Chief. Say hi to everybody.
Yes,
look at all those people. Oh, what happened?
You went black. That's probably a good thing.
Where'd he go? There's everybody. Say hi, everybody. Look at all those people.
Spin this around.
You're gonna go bye bye now? You're gonna go with mommy and daddy? Okay. Bye, buddy. Love you. Did you bring it in?
I was bringing it over.
Okay, I was taking it in the bag trying to find it.
All right, so you got Elizabeth, you got the Moquin men, you got the Lady of the Mountain right there, second Lady of the Mountain, Janet. Wave hi, Janet.
Oh, hello. I'm sorry.
Enthusiasm not at its best there tonight. No.
Well, she's wearing her Grinch shirt.
You got the boss? And you got
for the boss.
The other gentleman, you know who he is. So now, as we talk, Jim, meeting hasn't started yet. But I'll ask when it starts that the president adjourned probably at the end to look and vote on a contest, poster contest. But there's some of the poster contest, Jim. That's the fifth grade.
That's a byline, big kid.
It's an awesome turnout this year.
Oh, that's excited. That's fourth grade. This is fifth grade. Yeah, Janet Vanderwhite, please. There's the fifth grade. There she is.
Doing a...
Hey,
bye, Mom.
Bye, honey.
We'll close up of those later. Goodbye. Have a nice night. Okay. So let's get back to business here. I don't like this thing. It keeps jumping on me. Mr. Marianis, you're up, my friend.
I'll call the meeting in order. Had no public comment. Did I know of any public comment?
Yeah.
And we'll need approval of the minutes.
I make a motion. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I said it. Okay, payment of bills is circulating around someplace.
There's bills from since last meeting.
Okay.
There's a lot of bills last time.
Correspondence. The only thing I got was from the town for the, that we have to do our calendar for our meetings for next month and next year, and it looks like it's already been done. So we're good there.
And this is sent off to Sue Ellen also?
Not yet. I just need to make a motion.
Excellent. Okay. All right.
Okay. And then I guess we communication from the chief.
Can you hear us, Jim? Jim, can you hear us?
Yes, sir, I can.
Okay. All right. Communication for the chief. Let's just get into the firehouse stuff. Most of it we talked about last time, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. We did have a little excitement last night, which a lot of you know about, going to Vernon for their structure fire. We also went to Coventry for standby for their structure fire today. And hope this is not a precluding of what's to come for the winter, you know. But anyway, we got somebody else coming. Hey, Bob Langton.
Yes, I was.
Huh, up the other station. That's fine. We're mobile department here. Right. So what I've done is, as I told you, I was going to send out to you, pass these around. I'm going over the budget back and forth because this has to be presented to the town manager or the interim town manager. The interim town manager on the 15th, I think it is, which is Thursday. Is that correct?
Next meeting is the 20th.
Yeah, I got to look at Kathy's note. But anyway, so I started going through the budget, see what we had spent, what we had put in for last year's budget. Finance department, again, moved a lot of money around, but we can do transfers, et cetera, later as it comes. What I've done, Jim, I didn't send this to you. We can show it to you. You're going to have a copy of it anyway. The sheet that the town sends out for us to go through, and you've seen this in the past, they give us the actual expenditures of last year. They give you what we appropriated for this year, and then a request for the following year. As it always comes back, they always say, make it a zero budget. Keep it as, you know, that way we got to take care of the taxpayers, and I'm a taxpayer. I understand that. Unfortunately, running the operation, you can't keep it a zero budget. So what I'm presenting to you folks tonight is budget in front of you. Hold on, excuse me. Emergency call coming in. Yes, sir. All right. All right. Disaster not going to happen. Okay. So anyway, under this list, historically, the town sets, they have their human resources meeting, and they look at the payroll on that every year. So I put an appropriation of figure of there for 3%. As you remember, and you folks prodded me for it 4 years ago, and the selectmen mulled it over and agreed for the increase of payroll for the officers. The larger increase went to the lieutenants over 3 years. Captains got a little bit, deputy and chief got a spec. That program ended this year, June. This is the last year for that increase. So this is just a standard cost of living increase that I threw inside there, okay, which again is minor. Under professional services, we'll leave that the same. Hello, Mrs. Rupert. We'll leave that the same. Other professional services, leave it the same. Communications will stay the same. Proficiency fund, 3%. Every year they've done that for us for 13 years that I've been chief. 10 years I've been chief. Repairs and supplies, maintenance supplies, we'll leave that the same. And this is interesting because leaving these the same, the vendors are going up on their prices, okay? The cost of the goods have gone up also. So it's a bit of a challenge. And that's where it gets a little hairy come, you know, May and June, the end of the year. And it's really important to be able to do some transfers back and forth, trying to hold off. And Jim, you could probably tell it off the top of your head how much percent of the budget I've spent, we have spent so far this year. But most of the budget, to remind you, comes about in March or April when we start doing the maintenance on the apparatus. And hence, 2 years ago, if you remember, that's when we had the big engine blowout. Thank goodness the town helped us out on that side. Repairs and maintenance will leave the same. Office operating expense, the same. Other supplies, the same. Medical expenses, the same. You all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Uniforms and equipment, the same. Vehicles, there's no expense. Dues and fees will leave the same. The only two places we'll make a change, an increase, request an increase, have you folks, you know, think us over on here. Two areas. One is equipment. Now, if we go back on equipment, a year ago in the budget deliberations, Liz, correct me if I'm wrong, SCBA bottles came up, where we had a lot of them to replace because we bought the ladder truck in 2009, and SCBA bottles are good for 15 years. It's the end of life. You can't use them anymore. You can repurpose them. And we've talked to the engineers the other day, some of the 45-minute bottles, we'll put them for the airbags, for using for the airbags, or maybe a RIT bag or something like that in the future. It's something we got to look at this coming year, coming up. But not going with the 45-minute bottles on the trucks, because an individual, and they're not putting the Scots on every week, you know, individual jumps in one truck, puts a 30-minute bottle on. Then he grabs a second bottle. Somebody from the support team puts a 45-minute bottle on him. He thinks he's got 30 minutes on him, which is really 20 minutes. He could get in trouble. You get two people going in, one with a 30-minute, one with a 45-minute. One's got to come out sooner, which means they both come out sooner. Right, Chris?
Right. So, right, two in, two out. So, but do they have the
Gauges right on her, there? Plus on her face.
Oh, I was going to ask.
On there. Nope, on her face shield also. But so we're going to make commonality in bottles, get rid of the 45s for that. But with that said, Jim and I had a big conversation about this last year, and I agree with him that instead of taking that big lump sum of all those Scott bottles at once, we'd spread it all over 2 years. And those 2 years are this current year, fiscal year we're in now, in next fiscal year. You might recall that conversations, Mr. Rupert.
Yeah, our goal was to, you know, try to not just have a, you know, giant expense every 15 years. The thought was that if we could, you know, spread the expense out, you know, obviously we have to catch up here, but then, you know, if we're in a position where we can, you know, purchase somewhere like, you know, between this year and next year, we got to do what we got to do to replace what's expiring. But then after that, if we can buy, you know, somewhere between 3 and 5 bottles a year, and just that will even the budget out. So it's an annual expense. Yep. And we don't have spikes and valleys in that cost over time.
How many bottles do we have now?
Oh boy, you're going to ask me, and I got that number in my head, but I can't recall. Wait a minute.
It's more than you would think.
Oh, I know.
It's in a range of close to 40 bottles.
I was going
to
say,
well, yeah, I was going to say, it's like 42 or 45 was what I recall.
In my head, we've got 18 or 19 Scott Air Packs and double a bottle to go along with that. So in that ballpark. Now, so we agreed with, you know, Jim and I and you folks last year on that, the selectmen. I turned around at the end of the year, if you remember this too, Jim, leftover funds at the end of the year, I purchased some bottles to try to spread it out like you asked, to do it over a 2-year. In this case, I did it over a 3-year period of time. So I did some last year's end of the year budget instead of just spending money willy-nilly, bought some bottles there, buy some bottles this year, and next year I've got in here for 4 bottles. And that probably gets back to the range of what you're looking at, Jim, you know, if we can do 3, 4, 5 bottles a year to stay on that target.
And that may mean that we get ahead of it for a little while, but I think that's okay.
Yep. Yep.
You know, but that means then we just, you know, we have a certain amount that we're replacing every year, and we don't end up with these spikes, and then, you know, all of a sudden, well, we don't need any this year, right? I mean, that's the whole idea, is that we can even it out. And I know that, as we discussed, you know, a lot of these were bought at the time a vehicle was bought, or some were bought with a grant. Yep. You know, so they came in a lump, and you know replacing them as a lump, you know, makes it difficult, especially when we can't capitalize the expense.
So with that said, that makes everybody feel a little more warm and fuzzy. Now, Jim, put your hands in front of you and fold them so I can see them. There you go. Do not pull hair out. This is me. Don't slam the table. The other item that we have to change, have to go into, and unfortunately that comes into this end of life situation again, is, but I can work out a way on this a little bit too, is under fire security and maintenance. That's where historically that account is, if a vendor works on something and puts parts into it, it goes into that account. I say historically because that changed recently, but whatever, I'm putting it back in that account to go with, and I brought the papers right here, Goodyear Tire out of Rocky Hill or Weathersfield. We've got 2 trucks coming up that we got to change tires. Luckily, oh, why did I say that? We went to an accident with a rescue truck back in 2018. And one of the drivers didn't listen to me, and he drove right over the debris that was in the street and flattened one of the tires, which means we had to buy 2 tires to even it out. Well, that just spread out. There are 6 tires on that truck. That's just spread out that purchasing. So that 2018, now we had 7 years, NFPA is 7 years on tires to move it up. This is where you took the tires, Jim, from the new forestry truck and be able to repurpose those to somebody in parks department or school. If these fire truck tires could be repurposed to one of the dump trucks, it would sure make it nice for the town, I think. But anyway, we've got truck 134 and 4 tires on a rescue truck. Rescue 134 and truck 134 due for tires in 2014 or 2024. So with that said, using Jim's same theory there and knocking on wood, if we turn around and buy a couple tires next year's budget, or this year, excuse me, we're going to, this is going to be 22, 23 we're in right now. So we've got to be in 24, year 24. This particular budget, we put a few of those tires in. And then following budget, we put a few of the tires in. instead of breaking it all into one. Soften the blow, because tires are like $925 a piece.
Is that a new price you've gotten?
I haven't tires, gotten I estimated.
Just a truck tire on my pickup.
Yep.
This is the exact same tire, went from 160 to your 225 right now.
Okay.
In a little over a year.
But the figures we paid in the past are 525, and the latest ones were the invoices right here.
I was saying tires took a huge jump. So
550.
Yeah, we just replaced a couple tires on one of the town trucks. They're around $1,000 a piece.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure we put enough money to cover them.
I figured 925. Buying them for it was 768 the last time we bought them. So $1,000, just under $1,000. But if we divide that up and spread that out, and that number I've got in here is 14. Yeah, I can probably even cut that back just a bit to take a couple of those tires out. So let's make this figure. Well, let me get a price on this. But for you, I'm going to present this budget to you tonight. You make a decision if you want to, you know, have me proceed to send it in. I may try to knock that tire one down a little bit, all right, just to spread it out, to give it to the following fiscal year. And what the gamble on that is, we don't drive these trucks every day, okay? They don't have a lot of miles on them. It's dry rot when they're sitting there, okay, in the tires. You definitely, if ever you had a trailer, boat trailer or cargo trailer, you look at it, it's all little cracks on the side. That's what happens. These are big tires, you know, 120 PSI on these trucks, on these tires. But there's dates on them, and I've got all the dates for each one of the tires right here. I can show you tonight. But if a tire was changed in May and it had to be changed in May, and we waited till July the next fiscal year, I don't think we're going to be in terrible shape to potentially have a tire go flat compared to somebody else keeping a tire in a barn in Vermont for 20 years. You know, a little different. So.
I have a question along the lines of what you're talking of. I think it falls under uniforms and supplies.
Yep.
Now, we know turnout gear expires too.
10 years. Right? Helmets so expire 10 years.
Are you in some type of program with that too, or you don't really have to worry about that so much?
Yep. No, we did. In fact, the selectmen were generous on that side too a couple of years ago, where we put a phase-in program in. And we're getting caught up. The thing is, new people come in periodically. It's interesting because you look at the turnover of personnel. The fire department turnover the number is averaging 40 members. It's up to 42 now. It's going down to 38. It's plus or minus 10%. But people rotate now. New people, or some of the seasoned people that have been around, they get hired by municipalities around here for fire. So they leave, but we get a new wave of people to backfill it. I'd like to have all those people backfill it at 2 o'clock in the morning when we go to Vernon for a fire. But unfortunately, I guess that's a fact of life.
Somebody that wants to be paid versus the new ones. It's just, right. It's tough. I'm just saying, like, you know, you can't, it hurts missing somebody that goes paid somebody else, somebody with that experience within the department.
Oh, yeah.
And then to count on a new person coming in. It's just,
yep.
The new ones, it's not a good hit ratio as far as, I mean, if we get 10 new ones coming in, how many really stick around?
Plus the learning curve.
A year or two from now.
Can't maybe a third. Right away.
Maybe a third, yeah.
Right. It's not pretty.
Yep. Sure.
No,
retention and recruitment is key. And that's why some of these dollars for the officers and the proficiency fund, you know, help out a little bit. I had a pep talk with the membership the last month of meeting, right? Here's how it works. Goes into your pay in your proficiency fund. It also comes in a retirement package for you. And when, you know, Elizabeth, being 19 years old, doesn't think about a retirement package now.
Right.
But maybe she's 23 and she's starting to think about retirement package. That lady's starting to think of retirement package because she's got 65 days to go. Okay. But anyway. 29
work days.
Huh?
29,
okay. So I'm too high. But anyway, all these different programs, and that's why I tried to re-emphasize to the membership again the other night. 5 years vested, go someplace else, you still get the 5 years, you know, coming back. So thank you very much for the time for doing that.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but just talking about the officers too, I was just curious as far as their, I mean, 3%, Okay. I mean, like, I've talked to a few of the officers as far as, you know, hey, are they happy with the pay and all that? And like, they're not doing it for the pay.
Right.
You know, it's not about the money, but I'm just curious, are they saying, hey, 3%, that sucks, or 3%? I'm just curious about the reaction, if you're getting much from them as far as they're happy with what they're getting, or.
Bobby, when you and John and Billy and Chris and I all grew up, right, we voiced that kind of thing. Right. They don't talk anymore.
Right.
People don't talk.
They're not about the salary. The salary is not.
No.
Okay.
No. Just had an officer leave. He was an officer for an hour and a half, a year and a half. Okay. One of the truck drivers, all the trucks that we drive. Okay. He works for a paid fire department right now. Okay. I'll leave it that way. And he's a carpenter on the side. He says, you know what? I drive back and forth a long distance to work and I wanted to start doing more carpentry. I'm going to forgive the officer and the engineer. I'm done. How old is he?
25, 26.
Yeah. So different mentality. You know, you come in a fire service. Well, you had to go there to get paid, but you come in a fire service. It was doing it. You were there all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like being up at 2 o'clock in the morning till now, still.
Times it went straight to work. Never been to bed.
Yeah. Crazy. But anyway, no, so that to right. answer I, your question, kind of, thank you very much for.
No, because
I think it's important. You don't hear it, but right. there's a lot of backyard talk also. Right. So, and that's what I said to the younger officers of the membership, you got to be the eyes and ears for me to tell me what's going on out there so right. we can make changes right. and make it equitable and happy place for everybody.
Right. So well, that's why we went to proficiency fund instead of, we talked about tax abatement at one point.
Yep.
But to get someone that young to think about, oh, my taxes. Well, what do you, unless they own a car themselves.
Should get it on a car. That would be it.
And yeah, I mean, and for some people, that'd be enough.
Hmm.
You know, you get an expensive car, you drive a Mercedes around, but yep. for the average person, the kid that's 16 to 25 years old.
No bearing at all.
It's not
no.
enough.
No, no, no. And if they come to calls, proficiency fund, they can make more than their taxes. They're paying for the taxes. So, so anyway, that's, hope
yeah,
that answers your question.
Sure, right.
Okay.
Good. Quick question. You know, we have all these things we keep telling everybody NFPA. That's could we do somehow like a NFPA list, like uniforms, and then we could list down like, you know, I got made 10 sets of gear this year by this, and then go down a list tires on the trucks, and so this way we don't just say, well, it's NFPA. Regulated, we can go this here's a sheet of all the regulations that we have to follow with NFPA yep. as far as like tires, Scott bottles, and anything else that's mandated to throw out, so it doesn't look like we're just throwing the word NFPA out.
That is possible, especially with a new program we've got, the PTRAX program we put into place 2 years ago. We hit a button, we can pull up all of the turnout gear and see the expiration dates on that. I don't think we put helmets as far as numbers, annual number on that one is done. But tires can put them under P-Trax when we change tires or we change oil or we do a lot of maintenance things. That's all listed in there. The SCBA bottles, that's in a paper form. It's in P-Trax also. I don't know if Neil was tracking that on a regular basis on P-Trax. It's checked. It is being tracked monthly for the vehicle checks. When they go through the vehicles and they pull up their phones or their surface pads in the firehouse, you can do a vehicle inspection. Liz was down there doing a vehicle inspection the other day on service 234. It took her probably about 2 hours, 2.5 hours to do a truck. And the SCBA that's on that, she notes, yes, the SCBA is there, and how much air is in the tank. You know, it's several different input items, so it's not just a check off. So that can come up, too. There's I know Neil's got a different place for the bottles, for history, for the age of the bottles. Fire hose, I've got that in a written paper in a file for a fire hose, for the regular maintenance on the air compressors and stuff like that. That's not in something print in a push a button to get a report out. But I can try to get something for you. Give me a...
And then we need it right away, which is something to work towards in the future, you know? So, because we, you know, we throw that out and the average Joe Schmo doesn't understand what you're saying. It's going, Look at, here's a roll of toilet paper. You know, list that everything has to be done on this.
Yep.
Every year, and, or every 5 years, every 10 years, whatever. You know, even our physicals are mandated by.
Most of the stuff's on my head, so I can put it down for you.
Yep.
Because you got, correct me now, apparatus every 30 years on the average, we're figuring, the big trucks. Tires are 7 years. Hose is 7 years, but they just changed that. Where if you can show records of regular maintenance and hose testing, you can spread it out, which is a plus for us because we're not the city of Hartford dragging it down the street every day. You know, it sits on a truck and sits on a truck and then we get it tested. So we can get 10, 12 years plus out of that, you know, the hose. And we bought the premium hose. You know, it's not the stuff that you'd pull out in a brush fire and throw it away at the end of the day, you know. Turnout gear, helmets, they're even hoods. Somebody gets a soiled hood. I'm not looking at data, but just get thrown right away with a cancer bill and just get you a new hood. End of discussion. Gloves have a 10-year. I said the same thing on that. Baloney, you know.
You got last 10 years for the average person.
No, it's crazy. But I'll work on a list for you. Sure. Yep. Be happy to put something together. Yep.
Yeah, it's whatever you keep it in, you know, eventually put it in spreadsheets and stuff like that.
Yeah, I can do that. Yeah.
Just be real nice for.
Mark that down for me, okay?
Might be easy for you guys too in the long run once it's initially done.
Well, for the person who's going to take over this position soon, yes.
Well, yep. We don't need to do that for another 10 years or so.
No expiration date.
Yeah. So there's the budget as we present to you tonight. And again, probably maybe we'll knock that down a little bit on the tires, but we're not talking a lot, you know, a couple $1,000 is money. So, and that's staying tight to go along with the interim town administrator. Maybe it'll be not that terminology anymore. And it'll be more fluid with the extra monies for next year. No. Yeah, that's me. I'm talking to you.
Yeah. You just, you never know, Chief.
You never know, it's right. So, anyway, I turn it back to you, Mr. Chairman.
You're done. Fire Marshal's report.
Okay, only a couple of weeks, a couple of quick things. Finished up with Sunset Apartments. And based on our meeting last week, and I'm backtracking on all the apartments. I want to get them all into ESO. But to do that, I also have to put in the occupant for each department because, as we discussed, each apartment is considered a separate inspection. So I got to track down and figure out the best way to get the at least the name of the occupant and the phone number, and that's going to change. So I got all but one at Sunset working on that, and I had to contact the state. Jim and I had a discussion about something we're working on at Sunset Apartments with the owner, and I contacted the state, and they gave me a pretty decent response. So they're pretty much done. And then Thursday and Friday this week, we're going to start with South Road Apartments. Try to get those knocked out this week. And then after that, we'll go to 890 and then all the smaller apartments like Carpenter Road. Notch Road Extension's already done. The contractor guy down the road here has got one apartment building. What's his name? So hopefully by the end of January, all the apartments will be done, and I'm going to get them all into ESO. Just takes a little bit more time getting them all in there, but at least we can all run all the reports. And from now on, when I swing by Dollar General, which is at least once a week, I'm going to fill out a separate inspection report just for Dollar General. Last week, Vernon got shut down. Wellington got shut down last week. So I stopped in on Tuesday, I think, over here, and sure enough, the electrical panel is completely blocked and the junk in the hallway. But she changed and moved everything while I was there. You know, it only took a couple of minutes. Just her people get, you know, because they just keep getting more inundated with junk. So I filled out a separate report, but no violations because she cleaned it up while I was there. So anyway, just have to keep going back. Went to a Capital Region Fire Marshal's meeting last week. A lot of fire departments are using ESO, and they're talking about some of the minor quirks. The 8th District, Kenny Roback, he's got some stuff in there that, like the inspection paper that we give out to for liquor permits and They've got that in ESO somehow, and I got to work with him on that, see if we can do that. Mm-hmm. ESO has a certificate, but it doesn't look anything like the state certificate. So I sent you a copy of that.
Yeah. Pam is working to get that in there for you.
What, the state one?
Yeah, no, the one you know, the Bolton letterhead.
Oh, okay.
So you want to talk to him about what we've done since our last commission meeting as far as the reports and things? Because that was a big question they had.
Well, that's, yeah, I mean...
Well, it was after the meeting, you know.
Yeah.
There was a meeting after the commission meeting last week, or 2 weeks ago, that John asked for some specific questions on reporting.
We really went live with ESO around July, somewhere in that time frame. And then sometime August, I got the laptop. But it was really quiet. There weren't that many inspections going on. But now I'm getting hit with all the apartments and all the other stuff. So there hasn't been a lot of input into ESO for the reports. Even though it's all set up, I already told you guys that a long time ago. It's completely set up. The codes are in there. The checklists are in there based on occupancy. So from, you know, moving forward, all the inspections will be in ESO, but Jim still wants a paper copy to go in a file. And I also make sure, and you saw the printed forms that I do, they're going to go into on the server. So the server's broken into by years and then all the inspections done. Going on 4 or 5 years now. So just basically with ESO, they're all going in there now.
And you can hit a button and print them all out.
Yeah.
You know, which...
Bill, can I just jump in for a second here?
Sure.
So the reason that we want a paper copy in the file is because we can't access the ESO program. So if you came in, you know, to town hall and you wanted all the information on a particular address. One of the things that we did, as you might recall, when I took over as fire marshal, is we integrated all the records from the office there at the fire station into the land use office so that any member of the public could come in and find out anything that happened on one property by stopping in one location. You know, my hope is that at some point, you know, we'll be able to, you know, make some part of this accessible to the public, you know, for reporting purposes. And, but, you know, if you're buying a house, you might want to know that, you know, 2/3 of the house burnt down 10 years ago. And that's why for the time being, we're still, you know, printing a paper copy and putting it in the file. It's not because we want to store more paper. We'd really like to get away from paper, but we're just not at that stage of the game yet.
Okay, so moving on. So when I was talking to Jim, that because the way ESO is set up, you know, you've seen the letterhead that, you know, the fire marshal's office uses, and technically we work for the town. I work for the town, but everything in there comes up Bolton Fire Department. Mm-hmm. And Jim said it would be nice if we could a little bit of both, a taste of both. You got the town seal, you got the fire insignia, and blah blah. The address of town hall, things like that. So. Talk to the chief, and I guess he's going to work with Pam and see if when we do spit out a report, it comes out in this format instead of, you know, Bolton Fire Department. So people know that it's, you know, the fire marshal's office with a town hall address.
Right.
So that's being worked on. And so there's a lot of things going on with it. And like I said, all the inspectors are going to be going in there now. And then we'll have to, you know, dig up the occupants for all the apartments, get that done. So anyway, moving on. Dollar General, and then Jim last week and I, with the superintendent of schools and principals of both schools, actually met. Remember, we had a long discussion last month about the some of the little scenarios that they're, or some of the little situations they're doing over there to better suit their business needs than actually meeting the fire code. So the long and short of it is, you know, we got to understand where they're coming from a little bit. For an example, just to throw this out there, you saw the strap on the panic bars, but if a teacher is sitting in the middle of the classroom with their students, I guess that's a thing nowadays. I don't know. I went to parochial school and got beaten every day, but the teacher sits in there, you know, now the kids have to go to the bathroom. And what I found out is a long time ago, you can't tell somebody they can't go to the bathroom. I just learned that. It's a physical problem. Anyway, so now the kid goes out to go to the bathroom. Then when the kid wants to come back in, if the door's locked, that's not going to door. Teacher has to get up, interrupt the classroom. This is just one of the many. The library, a lot of traffic goes by the library in a constant. So if anybody's in there trying to study, I guess that's the main route to the cafeteria and everything. There's a lot of noise, and they like to keep the door closed. But the only way they can do that is by blocking some fire protective devices. So the long and short of it is they put together a wonderful document, which is, you know, this is what we're doing right now. We understand that, that, you know, the fire code says we can't do that, but this is what we'd like to do. So what Jim and I proposed is let's present that to the state fire marshal's office. Their idea is, in other words, I couldn't write it as good as them because I don't know what their issues are. So they put together this beautiful document, color pictures. Jim and I put together a cover letter to the state fire marshal's office and asked for their input because this is must be a, you know, a statewide issue, a statewide problem. It's with security, fire safety, and then the ability of the kids to open up doors without having to knock and, you know, all the other issues that they're running up against. So when we hear from that, that'll be interesting, to say the least. So that's it. Okay. Any questions for Jim and I?
No, you're saying that their rooms are locking automatically, or
some of the doors are supposed to be in a locked position. They're blocking the doors open. They're strapping the panic bars.
Yeah, I heard that, but I'm just saying, like right. During the day, or if
yeah, well, they
something ever happened, if a teacher's not in that room and it's locked, what about for them to get in? You know, the fire department to get in and stuff like that.
Well,
if these doors are locked, is there?
There should be a
master having a janitor come around with you to unlock them.
Yeah, there should be a master key in the Knox box.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That'll cover
right to the right of the main door of the high school, right in the center between the doors of the.
I don't know if that covered all the doors that we have.
So, okay. So what's happening, John, is that they're sacrificing, or they're bypassing the listing requirements of the door latches in lieu of security. Right. So what they're doing is things like, so Bill showed you a picture of the strap on the door where they're holding the panic hardware down. Well, look, those doors to the gymnasium purposely can't be dogged down. Right. That's a purposeful act in the building and fire safety code. So they bypassed that by putting a Velcro strap on. The other thing they're doing is that, you know, they're trying to keep their classrooms doors locked. So in the event of a security breach, you know, they can do something quickly to latch and lock the door. And what they're doing is one of two things. They're either taking a magnetic pad and putting it over the hole in the strike on the door frame so the door won't latch, or they're just taking a regular magnet and sticking it on the metal door frame so the door won't quite close and latch. And, you know, part of the purpose behind doors closing and latching, you know, those of you who have been in a fire before know that, you know, fire builds up pressure. And, you know, if you've got a fire in a classroom and the door is not latched, it's going to push the door open and let that fire out into other spaces. And that's, you know, part of the purpose of those doors is to preserve the safety of our corridors, which is part of the means of egress. And if we have, you know, a door that, you know, is not actually being operated properly because we're bypassing the listing and labeling of the hardware, and we're in the building and occupying and under fire conditions, it creates an issue. And it's more of an issue at this particular building because it's not a sprinkler building.
Right.
You know, so we've got to balance all of these things. And our hope is that, you know, the state fire marshal's office has found a way to solve these problems based on their work with, you know, other school districts across the state. One of my suggestions is, you know, just spend some money and put magnetic hold open devices on the doors so that, you know, when the fire alarm goes off, they release and the doors close and latch and then you're done. Well, they don't want to do that because the corridors can be noisy. And so, you know, we haven't found the perfect solution, but the hope is that with the experiences that the state fire marshal's office has had, you know, perhaps they can offer some reasonable suggestions that will find a balance between security and fire safety. We're just not there yet.
Okay.
Any more
Did that pretty much answer your question? Because that was the original. I said to Jim, I said, they're going to have to spend the money and put magnetic locks in. But after talking to them and listening to what their issues were, then it won't work for them.
Yeah.
You know, because the door's going to be wide open. They're going to hear all the noise. And,
I just want to make sure that we're covered to be able to get in every room in the school. In emergency, because you might not be able to have a teacher, or you may have to go first floor. So a janitor can't be there and down here at the same time.
We get, like, the center school, I think it's every door except for two that we can't get into. And that's, in this case, it's a principal and assistant principal's office. You just change the locks. The high school, I think, is pretty much accessible with all the keys we have.
Yeah. You know, this isn't fairly new, these straps, but for the past number of years, I've seen where, and it happens here even, wood blocks. And sometimes if I'm in a bad mood or a foul mood, I'll pick up the wood blocks, just stick them in my pocket. And they'll just create new ones. But now we're right back to the same thing now. They're blocking open fire doors. They're blocking open these doors. You know, my point is, well, what if somebody forgets? Well, we need that so the janitor can come in back and forth to the dumpster. And I've seen in Vernon on multiple occasions that the Center Road School, they leave the door open all morning long because that's where we're emptying all the trash. And I go, this makes no sense. Anybody, once they find it out, can go in the back. But all the, and all the schools have wooden blocks. The senior center, matter of fact, the chief jokes around it. They're mad at me because I'll come in here and complain about them with the block and the doors open again.
Took so the blocks.
So I took them. You know,
needs firewood.
Anyway, so yeah. Anyway, so that's where we're at.
And would your fire marshal report then?
Yeah.
I guess we got the budget. So we pretty much covered that for now.
I'm going to present it to you as I did right there, you know, with that particular number that's in there. And so last year, 241,000, I'm being recorded. This year, it is, turn the tape off. I didn't say 293,000, Jim. No, it's less than that. 241 is less than 293. Okay.
So it's up to 10%.
Yeah, not even that. Yeah, not even that.
And Chief, just for your edification, it's due the Friday before Christmas.
Is that today?
2 weeks.
Yeah, you asked what the date was. It's the Friday before Christmas.
Okay. Okay, good. We'll have it there for you. School bus carrying kids.
Hey, any old business?
So what are you going to do on a budget?
Motion.
Oh, the motion for that.
Friday before is the 23rd. Okay. You know, I thought that. Kathy's letter was different. Okay, good.
A motion at the accept the chief's budget as it stands.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah, nice job. Anyway, I just want to say nice job keeping it down because everything in their brother is going up, right?
Come yeah, on. I was going to cover that under
you buy, where you go.
Yeah,
go grocery shop.
I don't know how much these things, each item cost per se.
You got any old business? New business. The only thing we have to do is we look at the dates for the meetings for next year. Anybody see any problems? Make a motion. Make a motion to accept the second. Meetings for next year. Second it. All in favor?
Okay.
Opposed? Present that to the. You're gonna send that to her.
Yes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And
other new business. We had a electrical fire at the firehouse last week. Last Sunday was it? Saturday. Saturday it was. You want to talk about that, Jim, Fire Marshal?
Sure. You know, you might have to correct me in case I miss a little bit of the detail here, Chief, but my understanding is that, you know, during the pancake breakfast and the Stuff a Cruiser event, which, by the way, was very successful and well attended by both firefighters and the public. Members of the town of Bolton were very generous once again. They had some issues with electricity flickering, and then it appeared that they lost a leg on a particular circuit. And what happened is they had an issue with the neutral. And, you know, those of us who know electricity a little bit know that the neutral is your return path. And when you lose the neutral, you start creating real issues with your wiring. And so they had a bundle of wiring, I believe it was in the ceiling up above the radio room, that cooked pretty good. And the electrician was able to come in and get things safe for the time being, and then came back on Monday and made the final repairs. In this case, as far as we know, there was no fire, just smoke and cooking wires.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, a lot of cooking wires. In fact, I got a strain of it down my office. You can see it's the whole thing bubbled out. We were lucky, very, very lucky, but it's a thing that happens, you know. It's just
we're fortunate people were there when this occurred,
including the first selectman.
Yeah,
whose eyes lit up pretty good too to see that happen. So interesting.
What would have caused that?
What was the cause of that?
Just too much.
Probably a loose connection.
When they turn around, potentially, from what I'm being told, potentially, and these guys are the masters, not me. We had the lights out front on those light pole have a junction box. The line comes out of the firehouse to a junction box, and it splits to go those two lights to shine on a flag pole. That in the junction box also used to go to the sign board.
Mm.
And that was cut apart, taken off, you know, and potentially something got in that box with all the amount of water we had. That's what the electrician kind of thought. Maybe he says potentially. So that's all I got to say, potentially. Jim's the expert on what it really was. And who knows? Jim would know.
Yeah, normally when these things happen, it's because of a bad or loose connection. And it makes sense that with the amount of water that they found in that junction box, there was probably some corrosion and maybe a connection between conductors that shouldn't have happened, because when we have minerals in the water, it actually is very, very conductive. So it's more than likely that was the cause, but it's all been fixed at this point.
Yeah.
And the electrician is a top-notch guy. So I have no doubt that it's probably fixed very well.
Yep. Good. Nothing's dimming. There's nothing dim in wiring in the firehouse right now. also, 43134, the old truck has been moved down to a cold storage for the town. Jim and I met with an appraiser, and we took some deep looks at it, a lot of pictures, did a lot of research, and wrote us a dissertation about it. And you're going to be putting that up for auction, Jim?
Yeah, I hope to do it next week. I mean, I can say this because the Board of Selectmen acted on this publicly based on the appraisal that we received. We are going to put it up on the town's website in case anybody locally is interested. So we're going to start there. And we have, based on the action of the Board of Selectmen at their last meeting, the bidding will start at $15,000. Any bids below $15,000 will just automatically be kicked out. If locally we don't get a bid that exceeds the $15,000, then there are other platforms we will move to for the sale of the brush truck.
Yeah, and this appraiser was pretty confident that these other avenues could bring us money, you know, without a doubt. So Jim's thought was, let's give it to the local people first, see if they want to. If not, then we'll go for, you know, bigger money. So, yep. So, something else. Oh, you want to talk about the poster contest?
Well, just briefly, you showed Jim with the...
yeah, well, I got some eyeball pictures, right? He'll come down and look, I'm sure.
So it's the fourth and fifth grade, and remember we talked about it a couple months ago at the meeting that you guys used to actually select, look it. I do that. Trust me.
just keeps going.
Judging, you know, there is a criteria that they use, but some of those are really good. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we can only pick one for the fourth grade, one for the fifth grade. That's what goes to the state. Then it gets mixed in with all the other counties within the state. I think they did a fantastic job. So the senior center posted them all. What a great job the senior center did. And she put numbers on there. Red was the fourth grade.
Fourth grade.
And then the
green,
teal or whatever color over there for the fifth grade. And the seniors can select what they think would be, in their mind, a winner for one grade. So that's great. I don't know how many seniors are going to do it. I don't know what plan she has to have everybody go through, but that's, they can just simply put a little piece of paper for one grade and then the other grade and be done with it. So what a great job. Plus everybody gets to see them too.
They're creative. You know, they're all the same theme. You know, they were listening to what the theme was when it was presented, and some of the creativity there is really amazing. And to see the difference from fourth to fifth grade, the level is, you know, they raised the bar at the fifth grade. They really did. So, yeah. So
68, I think, total for the two.
68?
Yeah. Caitlin? Yeah, in a sense, I think it's her name. She said there's a few that just never really finished. I said, just give us the ones that are complete.
Hmm.
And, you know,
good. For that. So, take a look at these tonight. Take a slip of paper. Tell us what you want. We'll throw it in a bin with the other folks and go from there.
Okay. And for new business, we have a motion to adjourn.
They don't want to leave. Okay. Merry Christmas, happy holidays to each one of you. Thank you very much for doing what you're doing. All right, I appreciate it a lot.
Is that the bin over there? Is that?
We'll have to go look.
I can't see that far.
We'll go look. That's a senior bin.
So it looks like it's locked too. So that's
you'll fit right over
somebody's
there.
Somebody's grandkid up there. Somewhere.
Okay. Stuff in ballot boxes.
Yeah.
Very good.
I don't know. There's no Democrats.
You could buy that.
Can't hear you.
Car shows with it.
Can't hear you, Jimmy. You're on mute.
Car shows, parades.
I like them. I said, for those of you who I may not see between now and the end of the month, happy holidays to everybody.
Same to you, Jim.
Thank you very much. Have a good evening. Say goodnight to your wife.
Thank you, Chief.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I had to go.
Take care.
I always wanted that truck.